In a literary landscape where boundaries are constantly being pushed, Jade West's Call Me Daddy stands as a provocative exploration of taboo desires and emotional fulfillment. This erotic romance has garnered a cult following for its unapologetic dive into daddy-daughter roleplay between consenting adults. Celebrity readers like Megan Fox have publicly praised West's work for its fearless approach to fantasy, with Call Me Daddy frequently appearing on TikTok's hashtag BookTok recommendations. The novel challenges conventional romance tropes by examining how childhood emotional neglect can manifest in adult relationships, creating a story that's as psychologically intriguing as it is sensually charged. On her 18th birthday, Lorraine finds herself abandoned in the rainy streets of Brighton, soaked, freezing, and utterly vulnerable without phone, keys, or money after her friend Kellyanne carelessly leaves her behind at a nightclub. The rain pelts mercilessly against her thin party dress, a cruel reminder of her isolation. When a threatening encounter with a stranger evolves from uncomfortable stares to aggressive pursuit, Nick Lynch's Mercedes screeches to a halt beside her, the headlights cutting through the darkness. His commanding presence and swift intervention intimidates her pursuer before he offers Lorraine sanctuary, marking the beginning of their unconventional relationship. Nick's barn conversion home stands as a stark contrast to everything in Lorraine's past, a warm, secure haven that represents stability she's never known. The space exudes careful attention to detail, from the exposed wooden beams to the modern kitchen where he spontaneously creates an impromptu birthday celebration. His thoughtful gesture, presenting her with fresh flowers and a chocolate eclair topped with a single flickering candle, touches something profound within her. As she makes her secret wish for the father she's never known, the irony isn't lost on her that she's found shelter with a stranger who already shows more paternal care than anyone in her life ever has. The attraction between them develops in layers of complexity. Nick, in his early 40s, battles his growing feelings for the naive 18-year-old, his conscience warring with his heart. His protective instincts emerge naturally, but they're tinged with an awareness that complicates their dynamic. Lorraine finds herself drawn not just to his protective nature, but to his quiet strength and the way he seems to anticipate her needs before she can voice them. Their age gap creates a tension that neither can fully ignore, a constant undercurrent beneath their growing connection. What makes their initial meeting so powerful is the way it addresses deep-seated needs in both characters. Nick carries the weight of loss. The death of his surrogate daughter Jane and her mother Louisa has left him adrift in his own grief. In Lorraine, he sees a chance not just to protect someone again, but to give purpose to his nurturing instincts. For Lorraine, whose childhood was marked by an absent mother's neglect and a father's complete absence, Nick represents everything she's been denied: stability, protection, and genuine care. Their meeting feels predestined, two wounded souls finding unexpected healing in each other's company. The rescue scene establishes the fundamental power dynamic that will shape their relationship: Nick as the protective guardian, Lorraine as the vulnerable ward. Yet even in these early moments, there's a deeper current of mutual need that transcends these simple roles. Nick's instinct to protect meets Lorraine's longing to be protected, creating an immediate bond that neither fully understands. This initial encounter sets the stage for a relationship that will continuously challenge conventional boundaries, blurring the lines between paternal care and romantic attraction, protection and possession, need and desire. The novel delves deep into the psychological underpinnings of both characters' attraction to the daddy-daughter dynamic. For Lane, growing up without a father and with a neglectful mother created an emotional vacuum that shaped her adult relationships. Her childhood was marked by self-sufficiency and longing for the care and attention other children received. Watching friends being picked up from school by caring parents, celebrating birthdays with family traditions, and having someone to turn to for guidance. When Nick provides structure, rules, and protection, he's giving her what she's always craved, fulfilling a fundamental need that extends far beyond simple attraction. The pivotal moment when Lane first calls Nick Daddy during an intimate encounter awakens something profound in both of them. For Lane, it's the culmination of years of unmet emotional needs, having someone who puts her first, creates boundaries for her safety, and loves her unconditionally. The word itself becomes a bridge between her past wounds and present healing. For Nick, it satisfies his deep-seated need to protect and guide someone after failing to save Jane and Louisa, transforming his guilt into purpose. The novel meticulously examines how childhood trauma shapes adult desires and relationship patterns. Lane's attraction to Nick isn't simply about his maturity or financial stability. It's about finding someone who can provide the emotional scaffolding she never had growing up. Her need for structure manifests in seemingly small ways. The comfort she finds in his morning check-in texts, the security she feels when he sets boundaries around her work hours, and the peace she experiences when he takes charge of decisions that would normally overwhelm her. Similarly, Nick's attraction to Lane isn't just physical. It's about his need to be needed, to protect someone vulnerable after being unable to protect those he loved before. His past failures with Jane and Louisa have left him with a compelling desire to get it right this time. West's portrayal is particularly nuanced in how she shows the daddy-daughter dynamic functioning as both healing and potentially problematic. While it provides both characters with emotional fulfillment, giving Lane the security she craves and Nick the purpose he needs, it also creates dependencies that must eventually evolve for a healthy relationship to emerge. The fantasy works because it addresses real psychological needs, but the novel ultimately suggests that true intimacy requires moving beyond role play to authentic connection. This evolution is depicted through small moments, when Lane starts making decisions without seeking Nick's approval, or when Nick learns to let go of control and trust Lane's judgment. This psychological depth elevates the story beyond mere taboo fantasy, inviting readers to consider how our earliest relationships shape our adult desires and how unconventional relationships might actually heal childhood wounds in ways traditional ones cannot. Through careful character development and psychological insight, West demonstrates how what society might view as transgressive can actually be transformative when it addresses genuine emotional needs and facilitates personal growth. The physical spaces in Call Me Daddy function as powerful metaphors for the characters' emotional journeys. Jane's room, a fairy tale paradise with a princess castle, rocking horse, and sugar and spice stenciled on the wall, becomes the central symbolic space where Lane and Nick's relationship unfolds. Initially, Jane's room represents Nick's inability to move past his grief. The preserved childhood bedroom of a girl who died years ago shows how he's frozen in time, unable to process his loss. For Lane, the room becomes a safe haven where she can experience the childhood she never had, playing with toys and enjoying the security of being cared for. As their relationship develops, Jane's room transforms into the primary space for their sexual encounters, blending innocence and eroticism in ways that highlight the complexity of their dynamic. The juxtaposition of childish decor with adult sexuality creates tension that mirrors their relationship's contradictions. The novel tracks a significant emotional shift through the character's relationship to this space. When Nick finally takes Lane to his own bedroom instead of Jane's room, it marks a crucial evolution. They're moving beyond their roles into a more authentic relationship. Later, when Nick begins redecorating Jane's room for their future children, it represents his ability to finally process his grief and look toward the future. In the epilogue, Lane's deliberate choice to return to Jane's room for intimacy shows how the daddy-daughter dynamic has evolved from a full-time role to a consensual game they can enter and exit. The space that once represented Nick's trapped grief now represents playful choice and sexual freedom. This transformation of spaces parallels the character's emotional growth, showing how physical environments can both reflect and facilitate psychological healing. Jane's room evolves from a shrine to the past into a bridge to the future, mirroring Nick and Lane's journey from role play to genuine partnership. The power dynamics between Nick and Levine form the novel's central tension. Their relationship exists in a gray area where protection borders on control and care sometimes resembles possession. Nick establishes ground rules that dictate Levine's behavior, from checking in regularly to avoiding Kellyanne's influence. He insists on driving her to and from college, forbids her babysitting job in favor of an allowance, and monitors her activities closely. What complicates this dynamic is Levine's enthusiastic consent and genuine desire for this structure. Having grown up without boundaries or consistent care, Nick's rules make her feel secure rather than constrained. When he tells her, "I'll love you, Levine, if you'll let me," hell knows everyone needs someone to love them, she responds with relief and gratitude rather than resistance. The novel explores how power can be both problematic and healing, depending on how it's wielded. Nick's control stems from genuine concern for Levine's safety, particularly after losing Jane and Louisa to a preventable accident. His rules aren't arbitrary, but designed to protect someone he loves from harm. Yet the novel doesn't shy away from questioning whether this level of control is healthy, regardless of intention. The spanking scene represents a crucial turning point in their power dynamic. When Nick disciplines Levine for forgetting her phone, the punishment initially reinforces their daddy-daughter roles. However, when he later uses his father's belt after she misses curfew, something shifts. Nick realizes, "I'll never use the belt on you again. You're not a little girl, Levine. We just like to pretend you are." This moment marks his recognition that their relationship needs to evolve beyond rigid power structures. By the novel's conclusion, their power dynamic has transformed into something more balanced. Nick acknowledges he shouldn't control Levine, and she develops greater agency in their relationship. Their daddy-daughter dynamic evolves from a full-time role into a consensual game they can enter and exit, a fantasy rather than an identity. This evolution suggests that while power imbalances can initially meet psychological needs, healthy relationships ultimately require mutual respect and balanced agency. Kellyanne serves as a crucial foil to Nick, highlighting the stark difference between toxic and nurturing relationships in Lane's life. From the novel's opening scene where Kellyanne abandons Lane on her birthday, taking her phone, keys, and money, and leaving her stranded outside a club at 2 a.m., she represents the unreliable, self-centered relationships Lane has known her whole life. This incident establishes a pattern of betrayal that defines their friendship, with Kellyanne consistently putting her own desires above Lane's well-being. Throughout the story, Kellyanne systematically undermines Lane's happiness and security through both overt and subtle manipulation. She criticizes Lane's relationship with Nick as creepy and controlling, mocks her increasingly modest clothing choices as grandma-like, and complains she's become dull since dating him. Kellyanne's behavior reveals deep-seated jealousy and possessiveness, manifesting in passive-aggressive comments about Lane's growing independence and improved self-esteem. Her ultimate betrayal comes when she deliberately changes the time on Lane's phone to make her miss her curfew with Nick, an act that shows complete disregard for Lane's feelings and relationship boundaries while attempting to create conflict between the couple. The contrast between Kellyanne and Nick emerges as a study in opposing approaches to love and care. Where Kellyanne takes from Lane her possessions, her confidence, her security, Nick consistently gives protection, structure, affirmation, and genuine support. Where Kellyanne dismisses Lane's feelings with phrases like, "You're being dramatic," or "Lighten up," Nick validates and centers them, creating space for Lane to express herself honestly. Where Kellyanne creates chaos through impulsive decisions and emotional manipulation, Nick provides stability through consistent behavior and clear expectations. Through their conversation after the belt incident, Nick helps Lane recognize the fundamental imbalance in her friendship with Kellyanne. He gently leads her to understand that she was clinging to Kellyanne's superficial confidence while being treated as an accessory, someone to make Kellyanne look good rather than a true friend. This realization marks a significant moment of growth for Lane, who finally sees that she doesn't need Kellyanne's toxic influence anymore, and that true friendship shouldn't leave you feeling diminished. The novel challenges conventional wisdom about relationships by suggesting that sometimes what appears to be a controlling relationship, Nick's rules and boundaries, can actually be healthier than a supposedly equal friendship that's fundamentally exploitative. Kellyanne's freedom reveals itself as selfish disregard masked as spontaneity, while Nick's control stems from genuine care and concern for Lane's well-being. By contrasting these relationships, West invites readers to consider that the health of a relationship isn't determined by its conventional appearance, but by whether it fosters growth, security, and mutual respect. The author particularly emphasizes how toxic relationships often disguise themselves as liberating, while healthy ones might initially appear restrictive until their protective nature becomes clear. Lane's sexual journey forms the emotional backbone of the novel, tracking her evolution from virgin to sexually confident woman. Her initial encounters with Nick are characterized by his guidance and her inexperience. He introduces her to pleasure gradually, teaching her about her body while maintaining control over the pace of their sexual relationship. The loss of Lane's virginity is portrayed as a significant rite of passage. Nick treats her intact hymen as a precious gift, moving slowly and praising her through the pain. The scene balances tenderness with eroticism, highlighting both the physical and emotional dimensions of this transition. Nick's examination of her bleeding afterward, treating it like evidence of something precious, underscores the value he places on being her first. As their relationship progresses, Lane develops greater sexual agency. From passive recipient of pleasure, she becomes an active participant, initiating intimacy and discovering what she enjoys. By the time they reach Nick's bedroom, rather than Jane's room, Lane takes control during sex, riding Nick and feeling confident in her sexuality. She realizes that being sexy isn't about performance, as Kellyanne had led her to believe, it's about being herself. The novel portrays sexuality as a journey of self-discovery rather than just physical pleasure. Through her experiences with Nick, Lane learns to voice her desires, set boundaries, and take ownership of her pleasure. Their sexual relationship evolves from his guidance to mutual exploration, mirroring their overall relationship's evolution from daddy-daughter dynamic to equal partnership. What makes this portrayal particularly nuanced is how it connects Lane's sexual awakening to her emotional growth. As she becomes more sexually confident, she also becomes more emotionally independent, suggesting that healthy sexuality and healthy self-concept develop in tandem. By the epilogue, Lane's ability to ask for what she wants sexually, returning to the daddy-daughter roleplay by choice rather than default, represents her full evolution into sexual adulthood. The butterfly motif weaves throughout the novel, providing a rich metaphor for Lane's transformation and the nature of their relationship. When Nick first meets Lane, he observes that she reminds him of a rare blue butterfly, fragile, delicate, unaware of her own beauty. This comparison establishes how he sees her, as something precious and vulnerable that needs protection. The butterfly metaphor deepens when Lane takes Nick to a butterfly zoo as a surprise. There, a rare Moculinia arion, the largest and rarest English blue butterfly, lands in Lane's blonde hair, creating a perfect moment that Nick captures on his phone. The scene underscores Lane's special quality in Nick's eyes. She's rare, beautiful, and naturally attracts what's precious. During their visit, Nick reflects that butterflies are so much more beautiful alive, a sentiment that extends beyond just butterflies. This realization marks his emotional growth. He's learning to engage with life rather than preserve it behind glass like his framed butterfly specimens. Lane has brought him back to the living world after years of grief-induced emotional stasis. The butterfly also symbolizes Lane's transformation throughout the novel. Like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, she evolves from an insecure, neglected girl into a confident young woman. Her metamorphosis is both sexual and emotional, as she discovers her own strength and worth through Nick's care and their relationship. By the novel's end, the framed photo of Lane with the butterfly in her hair sits on Nick's desk, a symbol of their relationship that's visible to his colleagues and the world. Unlike his previous butterfly specimens, this one represents life and future rather than preserved past. The butterfly has transformed from a private symbol to a public declaration of their love, mirroring how their relationship evolves from secret taboo to acknowledged partnership. The novel charts the evolution of Nick and Lane's relationship from fantasy-based roleplay to authentic partnership. Initially, their daddy-daughter dynamic fulfills deep psychological needs for both. Lane's desire for paternal care and Nick's need to protect someone after failing to save Jane and Louisa. Their early interactions are heavily coded in these roles, with Nick establishing rules, providing structure, and Lane eagerly accepting his guidance. The turning point comes after the belt incident, when Nick realizes their relationship needs to be more than just their role-playing game. "You're not a little girl, Lane. We just like to pretend you are," he tells her, acknowledging the fantasy nature of their dynamic. This moment marks their transition toward a more equal partnership. Several key changes signal this evolution. Nick takes Lane to his bedroom instead of Jane's room, symbolizing their new beginning as equals. Lane takes control during sex, showing her growing confidence and agency. Nick introduces Lane to his colleagues as his partner at the Christmas party, publicly acknowledging their relationship. He begins redecorating Jane's room for their future children, showing his ability to move beyond grief toward future possibilities. By the epilogue, their relationship has matured into something more complex and balanced. Nick has thrown away the belt, saying discipline doesn't need to be cruel. Lane wears his engagement ring, planning their future together. Most significantly, their daddy-daughter dynamic has evolved from their default mode to a consensual game they can enter and exit by choice, as evidenced by Lane deliberately choosing to return to Jane's room for intimacy. This evolution suggests that while fantasy can initially help us process trauma and fulfill unmet needs, healthy relationships ultimately require authenticity and equality. The novel doesn't condemn their taboo dynamic, but shows how it can evolve from psychological coping mechanism to consensual play within a fundamentally equal partnership. The novel concludes with a powerful message about healing from past trauma and building a hopeful future. Both characters begin the story defined by absence, Levine by her missing father and neglectful mother, Nick by the deaths of Jane and Louisa. Their relationship initially forms around these wounds, with each filling the other's emotional void. As the story progresses, both characters begin to process their trauma rather than just compensate for it. Nick finally begins to let go of his grief for Jane and Louisa, boxing up Jane's things and redecorating her room for future children. Levine recognizes and breaks free from her toxic friendship with Kellyanne, developing healthier boundaries and self-respect. The engagement ring on Levine's finger symbolizes their commitment to building a future rather than dwelling in the past. Their discussions about having children together represent the ultimate healing, creating a family that will be everything neither of them had growing up. Nick's decision to move Jane's daddy drawing to the pantry rather than displaying it prominently shows his ability to honor the past without being defined by it. What makes this conclusion particularly nuanced is how it balances transformation with continuity. While their relationship evolves beyond the daddy-daughter dynamic as their primary mode, they don't abandon it entirely. The epilogue shows Levine deliberately choosing to return to Jane's room for intimacy, suggesting that their taboo roleplay has become a consensual game rather than an identity or coping mechanism. This balance offers a hopeful message about healing. We don't need to erase our past or deny our unconventional desires to build healthy futures. Instead, we can integrate them into more mature relationships, transforming what once were survival mechanisms into conscious choices. The novel ultimately suggests that true healing doesn't mean becoming someone else. It means becoming a more whole, integrated version of yourself, capable of both receiving and giving love.